This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, welcome to the morning run. It's 19th of September at 6 a.m. I'm Julian Ng and joined by Wong Xiaoning and Sharitz Abdullah. Good morning, folks.
Good morning, Julian.
Good morning.
How are you guys this morning?
Surviving the haze.
Could be better, could be better. I wish they announced work is closed instead of school is closed.
Yeah.
Right?
We wish that some great big wind would blow this haze away to somewhere, like I don't know, like Singapore or something.
Oh, dear.
They're such a small island.
I'm just kidding.
They are facing haze too, by the way.
And I love Singapore.
By the way, the Ministry of Youth, I think, is allowing some of their staff to work from home because of this haze.
Oh, is that right? Mm. Oh, okay. That's progressive.
That makes sense.
Yeah. If you don't need to be in the office, why should you drag yourself outside to get to the office?
Yeah, but the office is a safe space, isn't it? I mean, you're not exposed to haze in the workplace. Mama stall would be, but...
Well, you gotta get to the office. And on the way, you might die.
If you take public transport, I guess. You know, that moment between the car park and the door.
And maybe it resolves the problem because if your kids are off school, what are you going to do with them, right? It's like suddenly overnight, you got
to
jugger them.
So find that's a good reason to be
jugger them. And then what, you don't have a babysitter.
Yeah, okay.
I went around hunting for masks yesterday. It's not something that I thought I would do as a child. You know, I never dreamt that when I grow up, I will go around hunting for masks. But they're all sold out.
Yeah, you can't get them
anywhere. There's nothing anywhere.
Really?
It's hard to find. Actually, this is the right business to be in. Mm. I mean, I'm terrible, but you can make so much money selling it.
Well, just right now.
Yeah, now.
Okay, as usual, at this time of the day, we're doing things at a lighter side of the business. What have we got, guys?
Well, are you the type that gets angry and mad over anything? I mean, a person double parks in front of you and it drives you nuts. I have to admit, I'm a bit of the rage kind of girl. And it makes you feel alive, right? Well, but too much of it and it's probably a bad thing.
Interesting.
Not so light after all. Okay, what else, Sharitz?
All right, again, we've been talking about haze, right? And nothing's changed. So if you're still haze and confused on how bad this is for all of us, well, Malay Mail, they ran a story on the cost of haze. So we're going to go through those figures.
Okay, and if you have anything to say to us, and we hope you do, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. And coming up next, startups who want to hack your IKEA, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was The Beatles with Got to Get You Into My Life. You're with Morning Run, Julian Xiaoning and Sharitz here with you. IKEA is a company that gave us clean, minimalist, affordable furniture. And now there are a lot of startups that want to piggyback on IKEA's furniture to customize and remodel all your IKEA furniture. I guess is this a good business model?
I can get on board with this, especially when they could come up with designs that appeals to me. The thing about IKEA is that over time you get bored of it because it's just minimal, very minimal design. You just want to have a change, but at the same time, don't want to spend for a whole bunch of furniture. So I'd rather have it refurbished.
I'm not sure about that, for me, because why would I... Okay, in the first place, let me examine why in the first place I buy IKEA, right? It's because I want something affordable, something simple, something not too difficult, not too complicated. So I don't know whether I want to add more money to the item, spend more money on top of that price to make it look more, changgy, nicer. Would it be better if I just went out and bought that nicer item in the first place?
It'd be too expensive, though.
You think so? I think nowadays I see some in-the-middle kind of more fashion, trendy, interior decorated like websites which sell really interesting furniture, which has made it more affordable.
Yeah, but because you have to hack out your old furniture. Like, for example, if there are kitchenware, you got to hack them out and there would be labor costs involved, not to mention the actual material costs. But with these companies, actually, there are some pictures here in this article from Fast Company. What they do is that they just placed some enhancement.
Trimmings.
Mm. Yes, on top of your existing furniture to make them look more impressive, look more expensive. And then you don't spend as much.
And it's good for sustainability as well, isn't it? I mean, you don't throw things as much as you normally would in some ways. You continue to just repair things that are just slightly broken, or if you're just slightly bored of it, you just replace a few things. For an example, I mean, if you look at the photos here, it's just a simple change of cabinet doors.
A little tweak, right?
Yeah, just a little tweak. It'll just spruce up the place again. I like it.
Well, yeah, for some. For me, I would prefer to buy the item that I really like at the onset. And that's the honest thing, guys.
That's the atas thing to do.
No. You know, sometimes when you buy something, you're kind of like, oh, okay, la, that will do because I want to save some money. And then later on, like a year or two down the road, you kind of semi-regret it and think that maybe I should just save for that item that I really, really want.
Yeah.
Rather than buy the in-between item. Because, you know, you want to save that 200-300 ringgit. And at the end of the day, that 200-300 ringgit isn't that much when you think about it. Because you're right, the furniture should last you a lifetime.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that this is for people immediately after buying the IKEA stuff and then do the remodeling, right? This is after a few years of using the stuff, getting bored with it and having these startups come in with something new. But what's interesting is that IKEA's revenue, $45 billion last year, and they're with presence over 45 nations across the globe, right? Mm. They're a huge company, and it's not a bad business idea.
It's a very clever business idea.
So for these startups to latch onto a company that sells $45 billion worth of goods every year...
It's very clever.
It's clever.
Yeah, because who among us in a house doesn't have an IKEA item?
Yeah.
Come on, everybody has that blue scissors. I have multiple. Oh, there's this kitchen scissors. I have so many. And then who doesn't have that stainless steel container to put all your forks and spoons in it? Like there's certain items. Or who doesn't have an IKEA glass? I mean, that's just the kitchenware, right?
Okay. That's the standard glass that is used all over the world. It's now adopted as the world standard for like glass drinking water. Right?
Yeah.
Don't you guys think that this is also a glimpse of the future in some ways? You know, we've been talking about AI, how they're going to replace jobs and all this creation of, you know, all this creating of furniture is eventually going to be taken over by robots. So what, you know, some of the jobs that's going to be left for us is basically those added values, just those design, those creative work. And I find that this is sort of like a glimpse of what is going to happen in the next 10, 20 years.
Maybe, but you know, for me, my bugbear, I'm sorry, guys, I never understand those instructions to assemble the furniture, okay? it's like rocket science, you know? You got this picture, you look at it.
No.
And then you're like,
it's not rocket science.
No,
unless you're installing like shelves and cabinets.
No, but it's not always easy, right? And I look at it, even the stool, okay, guys, I'm like, okay, where do I begin, you know?
But so simpler than being in a bank, honestly, I'm sure.
No,
so you're one of those who would pay like $300 for assembly.
I do. I confess. I have bookshelves from IKEA and I just paid for the problem to go away. And I'm so grateful because those guys that came were the best ever, the most efficient. They did it in like 20 minutes. If I did it, the shelves would still not be up today, or if anything, they would have collapsed by now.
Or the doors won't open at all.
Yeah, the doors won't open at all.
Yeah, I've been watching a lot of tiny homes videos on YouTube as well as on Netflix. I think that this trend will sort of continue because people are shifting their budget elsewhere. They don't want to spend huge amounts on stuff. Well, let us know what you think. Would you actually refurbish your IKEA for a small price? WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Coming up next, do we have an addiction to anger? BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, thanks for sticking with us here on The Morning Run. And that was Jackson 5 with Blame It on the Boogie. And you're with Julian Shaoning and Sharitz. And guys, do you think that we are an angry bunch? Because there's so much to be angry about, right? The roads, the traffic, the haze, even the politics. But apparently, anger is very thrilling. Research has shown it could be addictive. In fact, some are saying that there is an anger epidemic in America. Even Pew Research Center, which is, I suppose, a pretty respectable research center, is saying that in 2016, during the US presidential election, the use of the newly introduced Facebook angry emoji rose dramatically in response to politicians' posts. So do you think that we are a nation that is heading towards anger addiction, or what this article calls outrage addiction?
Not on a macro level. I know that it's, what do you call that? It's, yes, that's not going anywhere, especially when it comes to being angry with the politician. But at home, I do. I mean, I find it a very thrilling exercise when I start counting down, you know, when I start doing my countdown and get my kids to clean up. And that's the fun part. And especially just before that one, everything is cleared up. I love it.
So you're only angry with your kids at home, and the rest of the time you're Mr. Cool and calm, collected, Sharitz.
Never seen Sharitz angry.
Yeah, I mean, in the office you're like, you know, so calm, so peaceful. Only
I feel the void.
You feel the void
at
home.
Yeah, there's enough angry people that leave.
Are you talking about me?
No. I'm not pointing fingers at anyone.
You are, aren't you? Well, I admit, I'm the kind that, like, you know, gets angry quite easily, and then I'm like, you know, little things bug me. Like, for example, when you don't put my pens back in my container and you borrow them, okay, that's one. Don't put back my stapler, okay, don't put my scissors.
I want to know who these people are and borrow your pens.
Yeah, but you're right. Some of it is thrilling, right? Because you feel this almost like high from getting angry.
And seeing things getting done.
Yeah, and then there's a reaction, right? You're like, get mad, and everybody just quickly puts it all back, you know. Yeah, she's going nuts. Better put it back, better put it back. But it's not necessarily always a good thing.
It's not.
Well, you know, the environment actually makes us angry. There are two parts to this. Firstly, anger is addictive because you kind of get a certain amount of satisfaction by lashing out at people. And secondly, it's a reaction to an increasingly, discontented environment. It makes you angry. Controversy junkies, as this article puts it. So, is there a danger point? You know, is there a tipping point where we should stop ourselves and just have some self-reflection and saying, hey, you know, if this doesn't stop, it's not only bad for you personally, but it can be bad from a national psyche viewpoint.
Yeah, I mean, if it doesn't resolve the issue sometimes, why be angry? And then you start not being very rational, right? Your emotions get the better of you. And then in the process of lashing out, let's say it's a personal thing, you just hurt the people around you unnecessarily.
Yeah, it's not just the people around you. I think it's yourself as well. I mean, like it or not, when you start getting angry up to a certain level and for a prolonged, you know, period, it's going to mess up with the chemicals in your body, isn't it? I mean, eventually you're going to get all stressed and then start all this, all the stress hormones starts kicking in. Eventually, you might just end up being depressed. And I think that's how a lot of people learn their lessons when it comes to, you know, being angry. You know that it's just not worth it. You just start learning how to let go.
But for some people, clearly, they need it managed, right? That's why you have these anger management courses nowadays, because they just don't know what to do with it. They don't know how to channel it into the right process.
What else can you do, though? Meditation is now something that's very popular. Mindfulness, meditation.
I have a simple one. Just count to 10 before you say or do anything, if you're really, really annoyed.
You know, that requires a total mind shift for a lot of people. Like, because anger happens at the spur of the moment, right? So just the simple act of telling yourself to count to 10, that itself is a challenge.
Yeah.
It's a simple one. And it just starts, I mean, you just take a little bit of a mental note. Okay, you know, I'm mad, but let me just think about it for five, count to five. And then I can tell you will definitely calm down a little bit anyway.
Maybe even something like picking your battles. You know, I get angry on certain things. I select on the things that I wish to be angry about. For an example, people park in disability parking spaces. That drives me nuts. I'd go up to the management to that point if I have to. That's how much I can push my anger if it need be. But I don't think I do that on every single instances. So sometimes it's just a matter of picking your battle. Because I think letting go, being angry is good. You know, it's just letting out your frustration.
All right. It sounds like there's good anger, there's bad anger. WhatsApp us and tweet us to let us know your thoughts. And we're coming up to the news right now. But here's Boogie Wonderland by Earth, Wind & Fire to take you there. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Morning Run. Julian Ng, Wong Xiaoning and Sharitz Abdullah with you. And earlier on, you heard a sign sealed and delivered by Stevie Wonder. And now on to something more serious. 1.5 billion ringgit or 1.6 billion ringgit is the cost of healthcare and loss of income opportunities as a result of the haze. There's a research being done by University Kebangsaan Malaysia. So they've put a number to the economic costs of the haze.
So that was back in 2013, right? So this study was done several times now when we were badly affected by haze, 1997, 2005, 2013. So the latest number is 1.57 billion. I don't know about you guys, but for me, I'm feeling some of the cost here. I'm starting being, you know, to start being a bit more calculative. Kids are not going to school. My kids are in the kindergarten, you know, basically private. You have to pay money. Whenever they don't go to school, basically, I don't know, I'm starting to think about the money that I pay for. And at the same time, all of them has pretty much gone to the, well, basically gone to the clinic just to get some meds.
I mean, I can see so many economic pitfalls from this haze, right? For example, do you all notice there's much less traffic on the road? People are just generally not going out. They're staying at home, right? So if they're staying at home, they're not consuming, they're not going to the shops, they're not eating out, they're not buying stuff. Everyone is just hunkering down, avoiding going out. And you can see that because over the weekend, I went to Mid Valley and shocking horror, there was car park available for every, you know, you drive and you can see this monitor, right? This board. Everything was green, guys. You know, if you go there, normally it's like red.
10,000 parking lots available.
Or, you know, and this was like the first time ever. It was all green. I was like, oh my goodness, that means people are really staying home. This is going to impact consumption. So that's one thing. Second thing is, with people getting sick and everybody taking MCs, I mean, the ministry reported 30% increase in eye problems, right, due to the haze. You take MC, that means one day less of productivity, work, right? And then for parents whose kids are at home, you got to take leave too to stay at home for them. Who's going to babysit them? So, you know, I see definitely impact on the economy.
Yeah, I think my estimate of the cost of the haze is like 100 billion ringgit.
Where did you get this number from, Julian? Did you put your finger in the air?
I feel angry, right? That we're talking about curbing anger addiction. This is making me so angry because it really stops you from getting on with your life, you know? Like, and this is really where that whenever people ask you to count your blessings and be happy with what you have, right? This really hits the point home. Because you don't have what you're normally used to. Your life is just totally disrupted.
Oh my God, Mr. Doom and Gloom again. But this is, you're right. It is, this time I agree with you. It is super depressing, right? Because what worries me is like, when will this be over? And it doesn't seem to get any better. You wake up in the morning and you hope the sky is a little bit clearer, the air is fresher, and it's not. And it's something that's so out of your control.
Apparently it's going to be end of this month. I don't know how far that's going to be true, but there's going to be a change of season coming at the end of the month. That's something to hope for. But it's, well, I remember back, it was 2016. That was the last time I think we had a very bad haze. And I think once the sky clears up, it just makes you appreciate again what the blue sky looks like.
So. I think there is a danger in this kind of number. I mean, 1.5 billion ringgit, 1.6, you know, 2 billion. These numbers are okay when you put it out there. It gives some kind of flesh to the problem that we are facing right now. But by all intents and purposes, this is a very small number, right? So I'm just wondering whether a number such as this would distract us from the real problem of the haze. Because I think the psychological cost and possibly the knock-on effects of the economic cost, because this 1.6 billion is very limited to healthcare and loss of income opportunities, but I'm sure there are way more economic costs, and the cost, the number would be much higher than this by my own feelings.
Well, if we wanted to be scientific, what we could do is we could just compare this quarter's consumption versus a year on year in previous years when there was no haze, and then we can see whether there's a drop off, and that will probably give you an indication of the real economic impact.
I mean that's still to me that still reflects that it's a very small cost. You know, the real cost, the psychological cost, the irreparable environmental damage. Right? How do you put a cost to that?
You can't. I mean, really.
It's,
you know,
priceless.
You can try to be as scientific as possible, but it's not really going to get you anywhere.
Yeah, and also considering all the sort of events or tourism aspect of things, how much, you know, how much this is going to be, how it's going to affect basically all those industries. I mean, we know that airlines have had to reroute as a result, that they can't land. We know that a lot of runs are being cancelled. Those are big, big dollar events, especially, you know, the ones that we're familiar with, Standard Chartered, that has been cancelled before. I mean, thousands, international worthy events.
All right, let us know what you think. I'm sure you have a lot of thoughts on this, and we are also running a poll on our Twitter feed. How much has the haze impacted your daily life? Severely, somewhat, or no change? There are actually six votes right now. Some people actually voted for no change. I find that very interesting. Do go to our BFM account to vote on that, and we'll be coming back with more talk after this. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Jungle Boogie by Kool & The Gang. This is The Morning Run, Julian Shouning and Shouts with you. And what do we have on the newspapers this morning, guys?
Well, this morning, I think Inner Star is still going in line with what's going on outside our window is the haze. So hazy plans for parents and kids. So as we know, yesterday, I think everyone's been informed about the last minute of school closure. So that's there's that. And then they're highlighting, again, the impact of what haze is doing. Food at school canteens are going to waste. And at the same time, I think there's going to be, well, there's been talk about new laws that may have to be drafted on open burning abroad, because basically these are our companies operating abroad, and perhaps they are, they're the one causing it.
Plantation companies.
Yep.
Well, on the Straits Times, for a change, the front page is not on haze. It's got a picture of a barber because, as we know, the ministry is curbing foreign labour with regards to a few sectors. So laundry, textiles, hairdressing and goldsmiths. But the Indian barbers are in a quandary because apparently they can't get any locals to work. So there's a possibility that all these barber shops might close.
Really? I used to go to the Indian barbers when I was a kid. I loved it, actually.
Yeah.
Is it the massage or is it the haircut? Or do they do that? Don't they do that neck creaking thing, which fascinates me?
Yeah, I enjoy it.
Do they still do that?
Yeah, some do. I mean, there are some places, and I normally stick to them. But we're seeing a rise of those hipster sort of barbers as well, and they're locals. A lot of them. I mean, quite a number of them.
They charge a bomb for it, right?
They do.
Malaysia Reserve, also touching on the subject of haze, Klang Valley choked in smog as thousands of schools are shuttered. You know, my question is, I'm wondering how this will affect the I Love My Palm Oil campaign, because a lot of those companies implicated in causing the haze are palm oil companies, like big companies. So Theresa Koch probably would have to change the tagline from I Love Palm Oil to I Love Palm Oil Unless They Cause the Haze, right?
On that note, Julian, I think the Star on page 5, there's something on new foreign policy framework as well. So it's just changing our current approach. Not much detail, but more it indicates about being more participatory in regards to engagement abroad. So I think it may touch on several issues that we have. One of it could be, palm oil. It's just more engagement. ICERT has always been an issue for our foreign policy, those are the things.
But I want to come to the defense of our Malaysian palm oil companies just a little bit.
Why?
Guys, because most of them are RSPO members, right? And when they sign up to the RSPO, they are not supposed to practice open burning to clear land.
That's in Malaysia.
Regardless.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm sure some of it happens. Maybe the fires, they unintentionally get started, things like that. But they're not supposed to do it on purpose.
The biggest crime in all this is that we don't know. That's the problem. We don't actually know what's happening. There's very little transparency in this. And also, this problem keeps happening year in, year out. I mean, these fingers are pointed at these same old companies every time the haze happened. The same denials are issued and the government support, issuing the same statements of support to these companies. We don't know. We don't really know what's happening, right?
Well, to be fair, because it's over large tracts of land, right? I mean, it's not easy to monitor. You just look at Kalimantan. It's a huge island, for example. How do you actually monitor what's going on the ground? You can take satellite pictures.
Drones.
And see where the burning is. But if you're planted, they tell me it's not easy.
They say that there's no smoke without fire. Right? So you just follow the direction of the smoke. All right. Also on the Malaysia Reserve, Khazanah investee firms lost 6 billion ringgit in market cap. This is not surprising. The Malaysian market has not been doing very well. I always try to highlight that the UK market is up 6% in spite of Brexit. Shanghai market is up 20% this year in spite of the trade wars. And the rest of the world are up in spite of their respective problems. But Malaysia is one of the few negative markets in the world.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, on the Star, I guess the question everybody's continuously asking is regards to the status of our Prime Minister and how long will he be, reigning the country. Well, basically, Anwar Ibrahim has said that it's likely going to be next year.
Well, we did ask him that specific question on the Breakfast Grill, right? Koh Siew Chuang did, point blank ask that. So you can listen to that on the BFM podcast or the Spotify.
That's right. All right. So we're coming up to the 7 a.m. news. And after that, the serious side of business news. And in the meantime, here's Chris Cornell with Can't Change Me, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.